He told the enlisted men and women most of what they wanted to hear. It couldn't hurt. And when 2 days from down jump, the admiral and staff called him in to ask much the same thing, he told them, too.
You've got her dossier, Admiral. You know what the Commandant thought of her. She had a lock on being honor graduate until then.
She fell for some young man.
No, sir. She was his assigned mentor. She believed he was in distress, and she tried to find him appropriate religious counsel. She should have come to me or to one of the instructors, yes, but she did not see it as a political problem, and she did not think approaching a religious person, a cleric, would cause the trouble it did cause.
But if she makes mistakes like that, how can we be sure?
Clearly, orders to put his squadrons under the command of someone he'd never met, someone who was not even an academy graduate, were fraying in the admiral's memory. MacRobert put on his most familiar persona, the senior NCO, who, perfectly respectful, nonetheless steers his seniors around the potholes they are unable or unwilling to see.
Sir, if she still made mistakes like that, she wouldn't be alive. Cadets, you know, they do make mistakes. Sometimes serious ones. Sometimes in class, sometimes in barracks, sometimes on the drill field.
Admiral Padjan acquired a faint flush. MacRobert ignored it. They both knew what Padjan's mistake had been, and he hadn't repeated it, which was the point.
That's how they learn.
And you think she's really competent to command large forces in combat? A mixed force like this?
She's the only person on our side who's done it, and she survived. So it's the Rector's judgment that she's capable, and I concur.
The Rector is her relative. That suggests her judgment might be less than impartial.
The Rector is a combat veteran herself.
A long time ago. All right, I take your point. The Rector isn't just a political appointee. Kai Vata isn't just an impressionable girl. I hope you're right.
MacRobert hoped so, too.
Let's get to the details. I've looked over what you supplied, and what little information we've had direct from Admiral Vata. I've had some thoughts I'd like to discuss with all of you.
Padjan glanced around the compartment. MacRobert was relieved that Padjan finally used Kai's rank. Maybe that particular hurdle was passed.
If there is time to train together, of course we will do that. But the Moscow and Moray governments both think an attack will come soon, possibly immediately on our arrival, or, if we are unlucky, before we arrive. We must have plans in place for all those, in case we do not get to talk to Admiral Vata before we're engaged.
Does she know we're coming?
We're not sure.
I see. So she might shoot us herself.
She knew negotiations were ongoing. I wouldn't expect her to fire at anything with a Slaughter Key beacon ID.
She was sure her relative would come through, eh?
MacRobert put on his bland look again.
In my experience, Captain, the Rector is uncommonly effective at getting done what she thinks needs doing.
True. She got us a full loadout of missiles and a new set of coils for Number 4 faster than I'd ever seen supply hustle. I like that kind of effectiveness.
It was with great difficulty I dissuaded her from coming along.
MacRobert enjoyed the horrified looks that resulted.
She is, after all, a war veteran, as she reminded me, and she felt that her presence might be helpful in dealing with other governments.
Grace's reputation had not lessened in her time at the head of the Defense Department. No one thought of her as a potential diplomat.
But the President wouldn't have let...
Captain Sarasthan slowly closed his mouth. Clearly, all remembered what had happened to the former president, and the rumors about Grace at that time.
And you changed her mind?
In a manner of speaking. She's very dedicated to the welfare and safety of Slaughter Key, and she finally saw that her place was there, guarding the rear, as it were. I pity the pirate who tries to get past her.
Penelope Dunbarger, she had taken back her maiden name for business use and insisted that the media use it, looked perfectly at ease in the chair placed for her by a solicitous host on the main news program. Rafe could hardly believe this was happening. She had left the building not by the underground route he would have recommended, but by the front entrance, smiling and waving at the astonished police and news reporters as if she were a vid star. After disappearing into a crowd of uniforms and cameras, she had reemerged and entered the rear door of a long, sleek vehicle that looked suspiciously like his own, and he had heard nothing from her for hours. 5 minutes before, Gary had walked into his office and turned on the main screen without comment. Now, here she was, about to be the first news item interview by all appearances.
You've made extraordinary accusations, Sarah Dunbarger. You must realize that defending your brother, a known criminal, by attacking a senior government official could be interpreted as, well, more family loyalty than anything else.
Penny patted the man's arm. He looked startled.
Come now, Stan. Everyone knows that sisters know brothers' faults. We aren't dazzled by them. We've seen them with their pants down. Literally, when they were knobby-kneed little boys.
She's good.
You've got people...
Of course. She's covered. She said to get back here and make sure you saw this. She said it's payback time.
Payback?
Rafe, I know you're having a bad day, and I'm truly sorry about Kaivada. But with this one, you did something extraordinary. You may not be able to appreciate it now, but you should. You freed the genie from the bottle.
In other words, you're saying you're not blind to his faults.
Gracious, no. I'd be the first to tell you that Rafe snores so loud you can hear him 3 doors away.
I do not.
Doesn't matter. It makes you human. And you did snore in the dormitory back at that place about the time your voice was breaking.
You told her?
She asked for something harmless. Snoring is something innocent, like farting. Only that's low class, and snoring happens in the best regulated families.
The host glanced at his notes, looking severe.
But when your brother was here before...
He was young and wild, yes.
He killed 2 men.
Saving my life. My family wanted to save me the trauma. A lot was hushed up that should not have been, because Rafe saved my life that night. Men broke in, killed the house staff, and were going to kill or abduct us.
Are you sure it's not just an excuse he made? Something he told you?
I wasn't a baby. I was in school. Tolver Junior Girls. I remember it very clearly indeed. The man had grabbed me out of bed, half-smothered me in the duvet, and was carrying me away when Rafe shot him.
Playing him like a violin. Now she has me wondering how often she's played me.
But we obtained the official records, and it says Rafe, your brother, hit you.
When I saw the cook's body downstairs, I started screaming. I couldn't stop. Rafe slapped me so I would stop. I don't mind that. He hadn't done it before, and he never did it again.
So it's your contention that his killing those men was in self-defense?
Not contention. Fact. Completely self-defense.
Then why was he sent to the Gardner facility?
Lou Parmina. He told my parents where to send us for post-trauma therapy, and then got the therapist to say that Rafe was dangerous. I don't think he'd ever have done those other things he did if he hadn't been locked up there.
Wouldn't have had the contacts to get her out if I hadn't. Not that I appreciated that at the time.
She's doing a perfect job. I could use someone like that in my organization.
She wants my job, Gary, not yours. Luckily for you.
The interview went on. The interviewer doing his best to present Penny as the besotted little sister of a dastard. But Penny neither wavered nor lost her amiable composure.
What you have to understand is that I'm the one, not Rafe, who's been looking into the financial details of deals cut between individuals in ISC and the Nexus government. Rafe gave me a temporary job to keep me busy while I mourned my husband's death. He thought I would just sit there doing data entry.
She pulled out a data cube.
Instead, I found myself fascinated with the number of people who had their noses in the same money stream. The late Secretary Isaacs, for instance, had been taking in tens of thousands of credits a year. Money I can trace to Sir Parmina by way of the former enforcement chief at ISC. Money allocated by ISC's board of directors for maintenance of ISC's fleet, which, as you know, is a major component of the system defense, was going everywhere but the fleet.
The data cube glittered in the light as she rolled it in her fingers and the camera zoomed in. The news anchor stared at it avidly.
Do you have proof? Is that it?
Penny smiled at him, the fond smile of an indulgent mother for a rather backward child.
Of course I have proof. I'm not in the habit of making false accusations. This is your copy. And there are many more, of course. I had not had time to tell Rafe about all I found. He's had one crisis after another to deal with.
You've made some comments about Secretary Isaacs.
That he was involved in cheating the government, yes. and that he had reason to think that someone might be onto his misdeeds, and thus might well have considered a suicide that implicated my brother and ISC as a way out.
But your brother was there.
Of course he was. It helps to get the person you wish to frame at the right place at the right time, doesn't it?
Penny smiled at him, then nodded as if he'd agreed.
Isaac's secretary ushered my brother in and laid a packet of data cubes, just like that one, on his desk. Then he started fiddling with one of the cubes, the way you're doing.
The host dropped the cube, as if it were hot suddenly.
Then collapsed. It would have been easy to put contact poison on the data cubes and have them, or one of them, ready in case of need.
Do you know if the cubes have been tested?
No. I did suggest that to the police, of course. They weren't aware that the cubes hadn't been there all along, that they had been brought in just when Wafe was meeting the secretary.
It could mean that Secretary Isaacs was murdered by someone else, even if the cubes are found and are contaminated. That doesn't mean he committed suicide.
The host took a quick glance at his notes.
Now, there have been suggestions that the incident in which your husband was killed and you and your parents were abducted was in fact organized by your brother in league with Lou Parmina to disable your father, and then, by apparently rescuing you, be unable to take over ISC. Lou Parmina, the only person who might incriminate your brother, is conveniently dead at his hand, without trial for his alleged crimes.
Penny was smiling, but now it was a cold smile.
In a word, no. It was Lou Parmina who told my parents what therapist to send Rafe and me to after the home invasion. It was Lou Parmina who ingratiated himself with our father, became his right-hand man, and, to prevent being displaced by my brother Rafe, engineered his commitment to the Gardner facility. It was Lou Parmina who doled out his allowance, introduced him to prostitutes, encouraged his vices.
Do you have any proof?
Yes. But that proof is not with me today. I was at work, as you know, and had available only those matters pertaining to ISC government relations. I will, of course, be glad to provide it.
The host glanced with some desperation to the side.
Begging for the producer to signal a break. But they're all too interested.
But there's a far more serious problem. You recall I said that Parmina had squandered on bribes money meant to keep ISC's fleets in repair? Well, there's imminent threat. And Rafe needs to talk to the Premier. But the Premier won't talk to him because he believes what he was told. That Rafe killed Secretary Isaacs.
The host jerked his head around to gape at Penny.
What? That's not...
So I wanted to make this public appeal. Rafe didn't kill the secretary, but he might be able to help save us all if he gets to talk to the Premier and they work together. If he's under arrest or the Premier won't listen to him, he can't. And he has a pretty good record of pulling off rescues, as I should know. And we need to give him a chance to do his best for all of us. Thank you so much, Stan, for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Sarah Dunbarger. And, I guess that's all of our time.
I give it less than a minute.
A minute to what?
The phone call from the Premier's office suggesting that you should come over there. Don't. Invite him here. Tell him there's data you can only access here. Which is partly true, at least.
I don't think that...
Gary grinned and spread his hands.
I should have asked you to bet on it.
And you'd have won, if that's the Premier.
Premier on the line.
She's going to make a great CEO if she doesn't decide to go into politics.
Huh?
Penny, I'll take the call in here, Emil.
Gary followed Emil out. Rafe made sure the recorder was running before he picked up the headset. For this one, he wanted a reliable record.